GHRT Rewinds are brought to you by Laughlin and Wolfington Realty. Mike and Nate and Harrison teaming up to help you sell your home faster and for top dollar.
This is the George Hill Rick Tyler Show. On the campaign trail, Adrian Bennett, Republican for Congress, paying us a visit behind the bulletproof glass over in Spacious Studio 7A. Looking more awake than we are this morning. How many cups of coffee are you in so far today?
I'm only into my first one so far. Good morning, everyone.
It sounds like she's in but three so far.
Yeah, where's she? Wow.
I was up at 3 a.m. yesterday. No, I had a long day yesterday. Oh. But 5 a.m. this morning.
So. Mm. 5 a.m. Sleeping in for us, right?
For you guys, yeah.
What do you make of the madness in Washington then? Get close to the microphone so we can actually, I want to be able to hear what you're saying.
I think that's a nice word that you used. It's a very descriptive madness. And what we've got going on from Jared Golden and, you know, the Socialist Democrats is something that Americans and most Mainers do not want. And quite frankly, they don't care about it. Impeachment isn't something that's being talked about at the dinner table. And I was just talking to George, and whoever brings up politics at the dinner table gets the evil eye, right? And
you bet.
Yeah, you know, I am out talking with Mainers yesterday in Dover, Foxcroft, and Milo, and we're talking about the real issues. And, you know, Jared is in Washington and he's trying to, you know, split a vote and be on both sides of the fence and trying to appease everybody. And you just can't do that. So he should be back in Maine. He should be representing the people. And unfortunately, you know, he's an Ivy League school boy who, you know, he went to Washington. I think he's being bought out by special interests and the lobbyists and the lawyers. And it's unfortunate. He's not representing, you know, the best for Mainers. And, you know, I'm somebody who's from very humble beginnings, grew up in Waldo County, went to a trade school, you know, put my degree to work right off for two decades. And, you know, I yesterday was talking to people in Dover, Foxcroft, in Milo, Brownville, Medford, and, you know, these areas that are really struggling. And we're talking about things like healthcare. You mentioned earlier prescription drugs. We have the oldest population in the nation, and we need to be addressing things like the affordable cost of prescription drugs and, you know, Social Security. We need to protect that. People in Maine, they have been paying in all their lives. They need to know that it's going to be there for them. You know, politicians, they've been raiding the trust fund for decades. And, you know, just like with the rainy day fund. And we need to have more accountability and responsibility brought back into government. And that's one of the things I want to do. So, you know, you had mentioned earlier, Rick and George, you were talking about the question of the day and prescription drugs and AARP and Jared Golden. And I just want to bring up the point that, you know, the cost for our aging population with direct care, skilled nursing, home health, it's going to be substantially greater than the drug cost savings in HR 3. And, you know, this is something that Congressman McCarthy, he was very clear on recently, and it's not going to lower drug prices. In fact, it's going to offset the stability of prices. And we had three prescription drug bills in Congress earlier this year. And those came out of committee with bipartisan support. Then the Speaker's office got that, Nancy Pelosi, and she changed the bill. And there hasn't been any action since. Of course, there was the bill you're talking about, H.R. 3. Okay, that was a vote along partisan lines. It was Republican versus Democrat, and that's what this Congress has been doing since day one at the lead of Nancy Pelosi. So we need to get new medicine to the market. We need price transparency and rebate reform. And thank goodness President Trump, he took action on price transparency recently. You know, he announced two historic rules, and those will make healthcare prices more transparent than ever before. These are the sorts of policies and rulemaking that we need to be paying attention to, not the partisan politics that Jared Golden and the National Socialist Democrats are putting forth. And they're making this so divisive for our country when these are issues that are affecting Mainers every single day.
You are going to have to separate yourself from the other two.
It's a good point. How do I differentiate myself?
Yeah, right, I think George? That's a big question.
Yeah, right? Absolutely. And yes, I was the number one Trump supporter from day one, from the beginning. Everybody is on board now, and you can see why. Look at our economy. Look at our unemployment rate. Look at where we are going as a nation. He is doing what he said he was going to do. And so how can you not be on board with that right now? And in a district, of course, that was won by him by 10 points. So you've got to be a Trump supporter, and you've got to be a voice for the people. So where I differ. I am an outsider. I'm not a career politician. And that's something that I don't want to be. I just signed a term limit pledge. And I believe that we should have term limits for our politicians. And so I am that political outsider right now. I do have the life experience that some people, you know, say that perhaps Dale Crafts has a little bit more of. And you know what? He's 61 years old. He's got 20 years on me. And that doesn't mean, though, that I do not have adequate life experience. Because when I was 20 years old, I had my daughter. You know, I was raised by a single mom on welfare, and she did the best that she could. And that lifestyle taught me that I needed to succeed so I could create a better life for my family. So when I was 20 years old, had my daughter, I decided to go straight into the workforce. I went to a technical school. It was considered more of a technical school back then when I went. It was New England School of Communications. And I got my communications in degree in television and radio broadcasting, put it to use right away. I got a job at Channel 5. I got a job at Cumulus Broadcasting in radio to do a radio show on Sundays. And I filled in for people on vacations, you know, much like if you go on vacation, I'd come in and, you know, do a week. And I started my own DJ business. So three jobs all at once, you know, working hard to make sure that we could pay the bills and that I did not have to be on the welfare doles like I did growing up. So I want to take that life experience, that real life experience, and bring that to Washington. You know, I was on welfare. Most politicians, they talk about welfare dependency, and socialist Democrats, they have created this culture, this awful culture that enables people to stay on the system. It's a broken system. We need to empower people to reach their potential. We need a tiered welfare system that basically weans people off of it and encourages them, incentivizes them to work. And there are ways to do that. But right now we have a broken system. So most politicians talk it. I've walked it. I've lived it. And I can make some change.
I want to ask you about a policy issue, move from politics and talk more about policy. And that is the rewrite of the North American Free Trade Agreement. Mm-hmm. Because what a difference a day made. Okay. On Wednesday, we're hearing the House majority Democrats really bashing the president. And then the next day they passed his key piece of legislation for rewriting the North American Free Trade Agreement, right, which, by the way, Representative Golden and Representative Pingree both voted against. They said there wasn't enough in it for Maine, even though their party leadership said vote for it and Labor said vote for it. I just want to know if you had a chance to lay eyes on the rewrite of the North American Free Trade Agreement and what you think it might do, because these are issues that you would be addressing if elected to the Congress.
Right, absolutely. And you know what you say? You mentioned it's a policy issue, but unfortunately, this has become political as well, being held up. So that's something that, you know, we as elected officials need to take the best interest of Mainers, and we need to act on it. So, you know, I actually went to Scottsdale, Arizona back in September and October and advocated with Vice President Pence for the USMCA. And, you know, there is some good legislation that's coming forth from the Trump administration that does benefit Mainers, that does benefit business overall. And we need to make sure that you know, those sorts of policies are moving forward. So if it's in the best interest of Mainers, yes, I'll be taking a very close look at it. The rewrite, I haven't taken a look at all of that yet, though.
You're traveling around the state. You're working hard. I probably harder than, I know you have a cold today, so you probably...
I'm getting over one. Yeah, I apologize for the raspy voice.
Just keep it over in that studio,
yeah,
okay?
Right.
I'm no longer contagious, I promise. I went to the doctor, no flu, no...
Shaking hands, kissing babies, the whole thing.
Yeah. Eight counties in 8 days,
Hopefully you're seeing people who are neutral. I mean, obviously you have to win a Republican primary.
Yeah.
But maybe you've seen from both sides. What are they saying to you? I mean, you know, we often refer to them as Joe Sixpacks, but there are people who don't live their life the way...
Most people don't live in a bubble, of politics.
I mean,
they don't.
And doing a radio show, you get the text messages.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of times the same people are saying the same things all the time.
Right.
But what's the average person saying to you?
So I went to Elaine's Bakery yesterday, bakery and cafe, right on Main Street in Milo. And there were several people who took time out of their day just to come down and meet me.
Right.
And, you know, these are everyday working Mainers. Some are retired and some were veterans. There are others who I met over at the food pantry afterward. And we unloaded some food. You know, these are community members and they really care about what's going on in their small towns. And CD2 is made up of small towns. You know, it's not the other Maine. It's not Portland. It's not York. It's not Kittery. It is Milo, Brownville, Medford, and beyond. You know, so people, what they asked me about, George, he said, I want to know how you feel about abortion. I want to know how you feel about immigration, Second Amendment. How do you feel about sanctuary cities? You know, these were the sorts of questions that people ask me, and they ask me every single day. You know, I am pro-life. My mother, at the age of 20, the same age I had my daughter, chose to have an abortion. And so I cherish life from conception. Second Amendment, ardent supporter of it. You know, back in 2015, I took Caitlin, my daughter, to a pistol course with a retired trooper, and we learned to clean the gun, fire multiple weapons, and you know what? I want my daughter to be able to defend herself if she should need to, anytime, any place, anyhow, anywhere. And, you know, I will defend that right tooth and nail. Our constitutional rights, our religious liberties, they are under attack right now by socialist Democrats. And I carry around with me a pocket constitution that Governor LePage gave to me early on in the administration. And since I've been on the campaign trail, I've had one other veteran give me a pocket constitution too. And he didn't know that I carried around this. But this is something that our kids, our future generation, and quite frankly, some people my age, they need to take a look at this constitution again and see how it works, especially with everything that's going on in Washington now. Our rights, our liberties, our freedoms are at stake. This is a seat worth fighting for, and we will take it back from Golden. We'll take back Maine. And a short plug, takebackmaine.com.
Is there a specific piece of legislation that you are seeing in Washington, from even as you campaign, that is of great concern to you that you would think, now here's evidence of a piece of legislation that needs to be passed or needs to be stopped, one piece, yeah, the livelihoods in the people of Maine depend on?
Well, absolutely. And Mainers, they have to live within their means. And another thing that I keep hearing from people is that the national debt is simply out of control. And I agree with President Trump much of the time. And I'm very grateful for the tax relief and cuts that he put forth. And people are benefiting from those policy decisions. However, I do believe that there was a missed opportunity in this most recent budget. We're talking a $1.4 trillion budget that was passed. Unbelievable. I spoke with a donor last evening and he said people can't wrap their heads around that number, let alone think about everything that's included in that bill. So as elected officials, we have the responsibility to dig into that bill. And I did this at the state level and I had to communicate with everyday Mainers what was in the state budget. I will do that at a national level. And there are things in that budget that are frivolous, unwarranted, and we need to rein it in. You know, you talk about the billions of dollars that are wasted. There's $3 to $4 billion that one Maine reporter uncovered in sugar subsidies. Why aren't we taking a look at that? You know, we have lawyers and lobbyists who are in Washington and they are buying our elected officials. And that's something I'm very worried about. Alex de Tocqueville said it best many, many decades ago, that as soon as the lawyers and the lobbyists, they take over, we're doomed. We're there.
GHRT Rewinds, brought to you by your hometown real estate team, Laughlin and Wolfington Realty. Thinking about selling your home? Call 629-9211 and start packing.